Bend over to your right.
What the was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans? Welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano, and we have an interesting show today. It's just a preview show, but I officially haven't made a team game prediction at this point in time. I said in the tweet that I put out that I'm going to come to that conclusion by the end of this episode. And hopefully by the end of this episode, I can earn a like, a new subscriber, even a comment on the show. And as we kind of go through everything that I want to talk about, leave your predictions. I want to see what you guys are thinking, because I am completely all over the place, especially considering what the Bears are dealing with defensively, not having their top three linebackers, which I'm trying to think if I've ever seen that before, where the Bears are out TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Noah Sewell, their top three linebackers going into a game. I don't know if I've ever covered a game where that's been the case, where at least somebody, one of the top guys who gets a majority of those snaps, has at least played. But I don't know if I've ever seen that situation for a Bears team that I've covered. But that's the situation that the Bears find themselves in as they prepare to face the AFC North leading Pittsburgh Steelers. And what I think you'll see is Aaron Rodgers under center instead of Mason Rudolph in this one. That's just what I think is going to happen. Obviously, we'll see when come game time. And, you know, I plan to get to Soldier Field early on Sunday just to see who's warming up, who's out there on the field. But it's going to be let's just talk about it. What I like to always do is reference Next Gen Stats and NFLPro.com to just kind of give you a, you know, just some important stats to, you know about going into this game. And here, we'll share the screen, actually, because I think this is, you know, also a good visual for you guys. So I'm not just reading off stats, but you can see exactly what I'm reading and why it's important going into this game. Add this to the stage here. Hopefully you guys can see that, as if whoever's watching right now. But just looking at, again, pro.nfl.com at a glance, the points per game. Bears are eighth in the NFL with 25.8. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are 12th with 24.6. Point differential, minus 6 for the Bears, 19th, plus 14 for the Steelers at 12th in the league. Record in close games, look at this. 4-1 for the Steelers. Bears are 5-1. So, hey, let's have another fourth quarter, 5 minutes left to go in the game. Let's see who pulls this out, because I feel like that's where this game is ultimately going to end up. Average margin of victory, 9.2, 20th, 6 for the Bears, 29th. Turnover differential, this is the big one, plus 8 for the Steelers, which puts them at 5th in the NFL. Bears plus 16, number one. And then total penalties, 62 for the Steelers. That's 9th best. Bears, 80th, 29th worst in the NFL. So I think it's you can say definitively that the Steelers aren't going to beat themselves. And that can play a big part of who ends up winning this matchup at Soldier Field on Sunday. Going down here, the Bears are favored. Minus 2.5 favorites, under 45.5, according to DraftKings Sportsbook. And then you can take them for the money line right now at minus 148. And then here, just again, these last ones here, I think are important. Important to kind of look at. Offense, we're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers offense versus the Bears defense. Overall passing efficiency, 16th for the Steelers. The Bears are 16th. They give the one-star advantage to the Bears. 18th for the offense for Pittsburgh in rushing efficiency. Bears are 22nd, so you get one star for the Steelers. And then pressure rate. Steelers are number one, and I think there's a bunch of factors that lead into this. One, it is how quickly Aaron Rodgers can get the ball out of his hands, right? Time to throw. I believe he was ranked the third fastest, if I'm not mistaken, and the Bears pressure rate 27th. Haven't been able to get to the quarterback all too consistently this season. Then you look at the opposite end, Bears offense versus Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Passing efficiency, the Bears are 11th. The Steelers are 15th. No advantage there. Rushing efficiency, and this is also going to be a huge, huge component in this game. The Bears are 6th. Steelers are 19th. So you get two stars there. And then pressure rate. Bears 14th. The Steelers 19th. No advantage there. But it's going to play, I think, a big factor in this one. And, you know, Caleb Williams' ability to escape pressure when there is unblocked pressure, because I think that's going to happen at times, you guys. So let me get out of here real quick. Stop sharing. When I was looking at blitz rates for the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's not going to be of the magnitude that you saw from Brian Flores and the Minnesota Vikings last week, but they do like to bring the blitz. According to Next Gen Stats, looking down here, they bring the 7th highest blitz rate at 31.6%. So you do already have guys on the edges in TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig, who can apply pressure. We can't forget about Keanu Benton, too, in the interior of that Pittsburgh Steelers defensive line. So I expect to see blitzes. I expect to see unblocked defenders running at Caleb Williams. And if that's the case, you need to see more of that Houdini magic to where he's able to evade, but also, you know, make plays off of that. So that's a big thing. I think the next step in, I think just, I'm not going to say just Caleb Williams, but this passing game's next evolution is that when Caleb evades a rusher, then you find that next step, that pass down field, and that takes the pass catchers to adjust with him, to be at their proper angles, to find open space. Because although Caleb has been able to escape unblocked pressure and extend plays, there hasn't been a lot of successful plays passing downfield. He'll do things with his legs, but that's, I think, the next step. And that's how you can exploit a defense that gets over aggressive, that's trying to bring that extra pressure, like I was just telling you about what the Pittsburgh Steelers do. So it's that I think is going to help. I was talking about this earlier in, you know, just a show I did earlier this week, but pocket depth was a big topic of discussion at House Hall this week. What that means, essentially, for the people that didn't listen to the previous show, or for people that are didn't catch up with any of the press conferences at House Hall, but on certain plays, Caleb Williams needs to be at a certain depth on pass plays. And I was talking to Tyson Bagent to kind of explain that further. And it's like, anytime you're further than that 10-yard mark, you're kind of in the danger zone. So what it's going to take from Caleb Williams as Bears passing offense is just to be very disciplined in those true pass drop sets, where 5-step, 7-step, whatever it may be, even 3-step, like, just you can't drift further back. Because what Ben Johnson describes some of those guys on the edges for the Steelers as werewolves, guys that have some of the best quick first steps in the NFL. So the further you're drifting back as a quarterback, one, you're putting your offensive tackles in bad situations, but you're also just allowing that pass rush to essentially, they're not going to dent, they're going to funnel it down until they eventually meet you, you know, at that specific yard marker. So Caleb needs to be very disciplined in that aspect of his game so he can be on time with his passes, not allow the Pittsburgh Steelers pass rush to meet him in the backfield. And if that does end up happening, Caleb just absolutely needs to show that he can avoid pressure and then make plays off of that. But a good way to stop that too is using your cadence. You're going to be at home, so the loud factor will not be something that, you know, hurts the Bears in any way. If anything, just silent count at Soldier Field. So if you're you're going to the game this Sunday, just shut it on offense. Let Caleb operate, use his cadence to, you know, just throw off the timing of these Pittsburgh Steelers defensive players. But then also tempo. So I expect to see at times no huddle, just changing it up. So these Pittsburgh Steelers edge rushers, whoever is actually blitzing, doesn't pick up on what the Bears, Ben Johnson, are trying to do with each individual snap. So that's ways you can combat a high pressure blitz percentage, or guys that can just get off the ball quickly. Just change up. You got to change it up. But also the run game is going to be huge in this one. As I told you, against the looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers defensive efficiency, rushing efficiency, they're 19th. The Bears are 6th. DeAndre Swift, Kyle Manungai. Shoot, whenever maybe DJ Moore gets opportunities, they got to take advantage of however the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing defensively, getting to the edges. If you have some overly aggressive defensive ends, that's where maybe you can hurt them in the run game. So that needs to show up today. But I wrote this in my top five players to watch on Marquee Sports Network. Please go check that out if you haven't already. Five players that I'm just highlighting in this game. I said that Caleb Williams, he needs to be the best player on the field on Sunday. I really do believe that for the Bears to ultimately come away with a victory. And like I said at the top of the show, I don't have a score yet or even who's going to win this game. I'm trying to convince myself I can go either way at this point. But I do believe that Caleb Williams needs to put on the Superman cape, but not just in that fourth quarter. I think it needs to be consistent in this one. If you get down in this game and you allow that pass rush to be in just attack mode, you are as an offense just in a spot where you need to pass the football. That's playing right into the Pittsburgh Steelers' strengths. So I think a very consistent game from this Bears offense is what's going to take, and a consistent game from Caleb Williams is what it's going to need to happen on Sunday for them to be 8-3 on the season. But there's only been so few games where we've seen that consistent offense. And I think you got to go really all the way back to, I guess you could say, consistent offense in against Cincinnati. But I know even in the second half, there were times where drives just didn't get finished. They obviously scored the most they had all season in that game. But, you know, Dallas was one that comes to mind too. But you need to play consistent in this one. And like I said with the records, both these teams have what, 4-1 for the Steelers, 5-1 for the Bears in close games. And the Pittsburgh Steelers don't hurt themselves. This is a tough matchup, a very, very tough matchup. You know, one thing to be aware of with the Pittsburgh Steelers too, as I'm talking still about the Bears offense versus their defense right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, I'm trying to find it exactly here. This is the Next Gen Stats. On the season, they've deployed a lot of single high safety. According to Next Gen Stats, have deployed single high coverage at the fifth highest rate in the NFL this season, 61.7%, continuing a trend of deploying a single high at a top five rate in every season since 2022. So most likely you're going to see a lot of man coverage from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But after just listening to, shout out to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I think they do a phenomenal job. They've been noting that they've been seeing actually a lot more two high safeties as of recent weeks. And this stat from Next Gen Stats will also back that up. However, in week 11 against the Bengals, the Pittsburgh Steelers, shifted its split safety coverage on 72.5% of their coverage dropbacks, the highest rate in a game with Terrell Austin as DC since 2022. Could that be because you have Jamar Chase, T. Higgins as the weapons there? Possibly, but I don't know if we're going to see quite as much single high safety as maybe the Bears, as much as the Steelers have been doing for a majority of the season. And I know the stats back up Caleb Williams being able to attack single high safety and man coverage, but that's going to be something that's interesting to watch in this one. And then just really quickly too, there was one more stat that I wanted to read off. Actually, this is going to be for the Bears defense versus the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. So we'll leave that for a little bit, but that is something that I just wanted to note. Actually, one last thing on Colson Loveland. This could be also an opportunity for the Bears tight ends to be a huge factor in the passing game. When looking at this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, they give up some significant yardage to tight ends. And here's a stat. Colson Loveland has been targeted on 32.7% of his routes from the slot, 18 of 55 this season. That's the highest rate among tight ends with at least 25 routes from such alignment. So you see the usage from Colson Loveland amplifying, which is great. So most of his production has come from the slot, where he has generated 214 of his 329 receiving yards and a touchdown. Loveland has averaged 3.9 yards per route from the slot, the most among receivers with at least 50 routes run from that alignment. The matchup with the Steelers have allowed a league high 374 receiving yards to tight ends aligned in the slot this season, with 235 of such yards coming after the catch. So, with a defense that will blitz, a defense that will bring extra pressure, a defense that does have some guys on the edges, see if you can get the ball in your playmaker's hands at the tight end position in the middle of the field on drag route concepts. And I think it's not just Colston Loveland, but I think Cole Kmet having the game that he did last week against the Minnesota Vikings. They attacked the flats because he brought those corner cat blitzes off the edges. Sometimes both corners were blitzing at the same time. So you vacated those zones in the flats and you were able to distribute the ball out there for Cole Kmet. And I love the physicality he was playing with too, lowering his shoulders, throwing some stiff arms in there. You got to do that. You got to show that in this one. You got to be more physical than the Pittsburgh Steelers. And especially that accounts for the Bears defense going up against that Steelers offense, which I'm going to get to here in a second. But Bears tight ends, I have Colston Loveland on my fantasy team. And a big reason why he's starting right now is because Sam Laporta was my other tight end and back surgery or whatever his injury was took him out for me. But I'm good with Colston Loveland. I'm all for it. So let's now shift over here. But before we do, of course, I mean, I think you guys know exactly where I'm going with this. If you're someone who watches the Nicholas Morreale show, you got to know that I have to tell everybody about my guys at Windy City Sports Cards. They specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. So whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, look, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles. In addition to those Chicago-focused items, everybody, they also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. So visit their online store to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to simply discover a new favorite. Check them out at 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. That's 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. The link is in the description below, so check them out if you haven't already. All right, everybody, Nicholas Morreale Show. Thank you for tuning in on your Saturday afternoon. I know you're getting ready for some college football action. As you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch much today. I'm going to try to go shoot some hoops. My dad's at the local gym. He said that it's open right now, and I haven't shot the basketball in a long time. So I kind of want to go do that. And then my fiance and I will have our date night, whatever, in the city. So that's what I'm looking forward to after I get done telling you about this Bears Steelers matchup in week 12 and who's going to win this one. I still don't even know. But I think I'm leaning one way, but maybe this Bears defense going up against what I believe is going to be Aaron Rodgers Steelers offense could change things here. And so you're out your start, your top three linebackers, as we said. And I see this in the chat, Nerd Mafia. Nick, how do you feel about our linebacker situation this week? Not great. Not great. Let's be honest here. Like I said at the top of the show, I don't know if I've ever seen or covered a Bears team that's been out their top three linebackers. And we see here who's going to be one of the guys that's most likely going to be starting in place of TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Noah Sewell, Ruben Hippolyte. Your rookie that hasn't seen much action this season, I would think DeMarco Jackson, right? And I should know this because I cover this team, but sometimes I just get confused with names. But DeMarco Jackson, I mean, Amen Angbang Bamiga also would be maybe somebody that you see out there on Sunday. But you don't. I don't know how you could feel great about the linebacker situation. You shouldn't. Like, I get it. Like, you can have optimism about still what the Bears can do, how creative Dennis Allen's going to get. But not having your top three linebackers is significant. And I'm wondering, too, the green dot, who's going to be the signal caller for the defense, does that just go to one of the linebackers that is now out there? Or does that go to a veteran player like a Kevin Byard? I have no idea. That's something that I'll be curious about when we go and see this matchup on Sunday, but that's
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
That's something that I think is also a key part, being able to spit out the plays and just get everybody in the right spots and make sure everyone knows their assignments, their duties, given the play call that's given to them by Dennis Allen. But yeah, anytime you're missing those, the entire position group going into a game, I don't know how confident you could feel about specifically that group, especially with the Steelers and who they have as some of those skilled players, man. I know Jaylen Warren was dealing with an injury, and I think the last time I checked, he was, trending in the right direction, limited, if I'm not mistaken. But that's a guy that's tough to bring down at the running back position. Darnell Washington, I know there's some people that are like, oh, this guy doesn't get a lot of targets. I would think if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, who looking at personnel tendencies, the Pittsburgh Steelers, in terms of the rate that they use three tight ends, 16.76%, second most in the NFL. But you're like, oh, 13, maybe they, you know, that's not as common. Sure. How about looking at the play rate for 12 personnel, getting two tight ends on the field? So Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Jonnu Smith, whoever it may be, the combination. Pittsburgh Steelers run 12 personnel 33.3% of the time. That's a seventh most. And I guarantee you, going into this matchup, knowing that the Bears do not have their top three linebackers, you're going to see a significant amount of two tight end, three tight end sets on Sunday. Why wouldn't you? Right? Why wouldn't you do that? So you're going up against linebackers that are obviously not at a starter level, because every single one of the stars is out for the Bears. But also, if you're Dennis Allen, maybe you're going to change up things and just play more nickel and dime. So you're getting smaller defenders out there. Like I think if I'm, you know, Mike Tomlin, the Steelers, you know, Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, you are going into this game saying we are going to put our heavy personnel out there and good luck trying to tackle our big players on the edges, in the flats, whenever they get the ball in their hands. And that's going to be the challenge for this Bears defense. And one of my top five players to watch in this game on Sunday that I wrote for MarqueeSportsNetwork.com, go check it out, Jaquan Brisker. I think Jaquan Brisker needs to have a massive game, because I do believe they're going to have him play more in the box in this one, just as a run defender, but someone that can be closer to the line of scrimmage whenever these tight ends maybe get a ball to the flat or a crosser over the middle of the field. Jaquan needs to show that, one, he can make these tackles one-on-one, which I believe he can, but be consistent, man. I don't look for kill shots in this one. That's also going to be a thing for this Bears defense. There's no reason for that. Yes, it amps up the defense, but you just need sound tackling. And you need to rally to the football. Everybody. Especially when you're missing three guys at your linebacker position. And I don't know at this point if you're going to see Jalen Johnson or Kyler Gordon. I don't know if that's for certain. I know they were a full go in Friday's walkthrough practice, but think about next week. You have a quick turnaround with the Friday game against the Philadelphia Eagles on Black Friday in Philadelphia, but you got to account for that too. And you definitely don't want to rush any of those guys before they're actually ready. Would it be great to get that boost in the secondary? Absolutely. But you're not doing it at the expense of them potentially re-injuring what they already have. It's like I said, on a quick turnaround week, a little bit longer than a Thursday night game, but still. So I don't know about the secondary players, if Jalen, Kyler are going to be back. But I do know that Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard, these guys on the back end, they need to be ready to tackle. Everybody in this defense needs to be ready to tackle. One of those stats that I was saving for this Pittsburgh Steelers offense versus the Bears defense. I was like thinking, did I say that right? Kenneth Gainwell. When you don't have your starting linebackers, I think one of the areas that gets that's going to have a major weakness is the run support, right? Just knowing where to fill your gaps, how to read the defensive line in front of you, things like that. But it's when Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, whoever it is at quarterback, like I said, I think Aaron Rodgers will play, when they get the ball to the flat to the running back. And the main guy that's been in that position for the Steelers is Kenneth Gainwell. If you watch his game last week against the Cincinnati Bengals, he hurt that Bengals defense. And I get it. People are listening. Bengals defense stinks. You're right. It does. But still, those plays to get it out that way, that's significant. And here's a stat that backs that up. Kenneth Gainwell recorded a career high 81 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns on 7 receptions, 8 targets last week against the Bengals, leading the team in receiving yards. Gainwell has been targeted on 26.8% of his routes this season, the 4th highest rate among running backs with at least 100 routes run. Expect that to be a factor. Expect that to be a factor against this Bears defense on Sunday. Getting the ball out to the flats. There were a couple times where Rodgers held and then did a no look to Kenneth Gainwell just out in the flat, makes a man miss. I believe that's when he scored a touchdown on one of his 2 touchdowns. You got to be ready to, one, show some range. If you're the linebackers, Ruben Hippolyte, DeMarco Jackson, Angbang Mamiga, if he's in there. Maybe you see Daniel Hardy actually playing that position as well. He's an athletic guy as too. So wouldn't surprise me. Or maybe you're just putting as much athletic DBs out there to try to, you know, stop that those types of plays. Here's another stat from the Bears defense. The Bears defense has struggled to generate pressure this season. I don't think that's surprised anybody. Producing it on just 30.1% of opponents' dropbacks, the 6th lowest rate in the league. That marks a significant drop from last year when they finished with a 36.5 pressure rate, with the 5th highest in the NFL. Not great, you guys. Darnell Washington. Oh, the guy that I was talking about. At a self-proclaimed 311 pounds. That's insane for a tight end. Darnell Washington has averaged the 2nd slowest average route speed, 10.85 miles per hour among tight ends. Yet averaged 7.3 yards after the catch per reception, the 4th most among tight ends. Washington has outgained his expected yards after the catch on 76.5% of his receptions, the highest rate among tight ends with at least 10 catches. That's the issue there with him. It's not obviously down the field. It's when he gets the ball, can you tackle him? Cincinnati sure showed that they couldn't or weren't even willing. That's what you don't want to see from the Bears defense, that they're not willing to tackle. If like I said, you're not looking for these kill shots. You're looking for secure, sound tackling. Got to show it, man. Got to show it consistently. If not, it's just going to be a long day for this Bears defense. Man, I'm like going back and forth now. Like I said, I have not picked a winner, but I think it's time now. Let's do a bold prediction. And I don't know why, but I know I put this in our Marquee Sports Network. We have a Slack channel. And I'm like, you know what? This is feeling like a game, and I really don't have any rhyme or reason for it. Here we go. Here's my bold prediction for you. Actually, I'll give you 2. Bold. Again, these are things that shouldn't happen. Maybe I'm just crazy. But I put this. This feels like a game where Joe Tryon Shoninka ends Rodgers' career with a sack. Give you some really Corey Wooten, Brett Favre vibes. So that's 1. We're going to see a Joe Tryon Shoninka sack that takes Aaron Rodgers out of the game. Boom. But also, here's a crazy one. You know that pressure rate that I was just telling you about? Again, bold prediction. I really don't expect this to happen. The Bears end up with more sacks on the day than the Pittsburgh Steelers. Take that, David Kaplan. Why? How could that realistically happen? Well, it's the Caleb Williams effect, the ability to avoid unblocked pressure, avoid pressure in general. So that could be a reason how that happens. Aaron Rodgers, when I was watching him move in the pocket, I know Dennis Allen gave him some credit for it. I don't know. You don't see the same Aaron Rodgers. That's for sure. So I think if Dennis Allen gets creative, throws some different blitzes at him and tries to, you know, not confuse Aaron Rodgers, but just get there before he gets the ball out of his hands, which I said earlier in the show is at an extremely fast rate, then that's a way that you can potentially get Aaron Rodgers. But bold predictions, I just said them. Joe Tryon Shoninka gets a sack on Aaron Rodgers, takes him out of the game, and the Bears somehow, some way, end up with more sacks in the game than TJ Watt, Alex Highsmith, Nick Herbig, Keanu Benton. Book it. Yeah. Okay. Let's do this, you guys. Going 30 minutes now. 30 minutes just kind of talking to you and everyone in the chat. Appreciate you for hanging out and being there. Austin Booker, I love this. There you go. Triple JV2788 just put Austin Booker. Talked to him earlier this week about his long arm. We need to see that. Pretty sure the Steelers have some young offensive tackles. Long arm those dudes. Get him out of the way. Get to Aaron Rodgers. That's a good way to get to Aaron Rodgers. Here's one more stat about Jaylen Warren, actually, because I think he's a factor in this one, obviously. Jaylen Warren has been hit behind the line of scrimmage on 50.4% of his carries, the third highest rate among 41 running backs with at least 71 carries this season. As a result, 90% of his total rushing yards, 482 of 536, have come after contact, averaging 3.9 yards after contact per carry, fifth most among the same group of running backs. That's insane. That's wild. He is tough to bring down, man. Tough to bring down. Just like DK Metcalf. Just like Darnell Washington. Kenneth Gainwell. Whew. And actually, Chris Lynn 6440. Does he have to score 35? I think you're referring to Caleb. I don't know if he has to score 35, but like I said, I think he needs to be the guy, the best player on the field for the Bears on Sunday. All right, I gave you a bunch of key stats, matchups. Obviously Theo Benedict's going to be going up against Nick Herbig for a majority of the time. That's definitely something to watch. Darius Slay, if he's the one starting for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense at opposite corner, I think Joseph was the one filling in for him, if I'm not mistaken. But if Darius Slay's out there, you target Darius Slay. Roma Dunze, Luther Burden, DJ, you go after him. Porter Jr. has been playing some pretty good football. Jalen Ramsey's been playing a lot more safety as of late. So you target Darius Slay if they're deciding to put him out there opposite of Porter. But that's also another matchup to watch. I'm like going through these at the very last second here. But let's get a prediction here. I need to put this on record. And then I have to send my record to Scott Baer from Marquee Sports Network. I feel like a lot of my talking is swaying me to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm being completely honest with you. Just in terms of what the Bears don't have, some matchups I don't like defensively, the pass rush against the Bears. But man, even though everything's telling me to pick the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm going the opposite way, man. I'm going the opposite way. I'm going to go Bears 24, Steelers 20. The Bears show that what they've been really showing all this season is that they are a different team. And I know they are decimated by injury. Just defensively, you might not have still your top, some of your top secondary players, Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, we'll see on that one, but you don't have your linebackers. And this is a great comment that just came in here right now. Cash Taylor, 7466. Offense needs to score touchdowns. Do not depend on Santos. Play to score. Touchdowns need to happen in this one. Completely agree. Love that comment here at the end because they need to. They need to score touchdowns. And what I didn't even bring up, shame on me, is the takeaways that are going to be, I think, a potential huge component of this game. The Bears, when they don't commit any takeaways, are 0-2. Actually, yeah, 0-2 when they don't commit any force any takeaways. That would be the loss against the Detroit Lions and the loss against the Baltimore Ravens. Not one takeaway in those. They also obviously lost week one against the Minnesota Vikings, but they did get that pick six on J.J. McCarthy. So you need to take the ball away. And as of right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers have actually been pretty good at protecting the ball. Let's see. The Steelers have turned the ball over just 10 times this season, 7 interceptions, 3 fumbles. The Bears are 0-2 in games when the defense has not created a takeaway. So that's going to be a big one in this. But the Bears have shown that they will create turnovers or create takeaways. Sorry, I remember I said that to Jerron Dexter at after one of the games in the locker room. He's like, it's not turnovers, it's takeaways. I'm like, okay, create takeaways. They have pride. That's a prideful group. And they show that they can do that. I don't think you're not going to get the egregious throws that J.J. McCarthy showed, but can you get a takeaway on Aaron Rodgers at Soldier Field for maybe one last time? I think there could be opportunity, especially if you can apply some type of pressure. But even though everything's telling me to take Pittsburgh, you guys, Bears, 24, Steelers, 20. 8-3, still on top of the NFC North. And then you go into the matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles, Black Friday. Let's go. Let's go. Let me know what you think, what this score is going to be. I don't know. I don't really see it being it could be like if things go the opposite way, maybe it is a blowout for the Steelers in a victory, but that's not what I'm predicting here. Going Bears 24, Steelers 20. I think this game will show a lot about the Bears coaching staff. What they can do. What Dennis Allen can do with a defense that's without its three linebackers. What Ben Johnson does to, you know, go up against a pass rush that can get after the quarterback quickly and, you know, just find ways to win this game. And, you know, hey, Brandon Green, 1166. Is Rodgers playing? It hasn't been officially announced. He's questionable, but I do think you see number 8 out there for one last time. What realistically could be one last time at Soldier Field. But Bears 24, Steelers 20, improved to 8-3 in the season. Let me know your score prediction or your biggest concern going into this game in the comments. And if I have earned a like, a new subscriber, for someone to share this YouTube channel, please do so here. It helps grow my algorithms in the Bears YouTube community and, you know, just kind of gets me out there, maybe in front of different brands that can potentially want to partner up with me. But if you know anybody, send them my way. Always looking to, partner up with awesome brands here. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out on your Saturday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day. If you're going to the game on Sunday, I'll be there as well, watching from the press box in what should be a very interesting game between two teams that really don't play all that often against each other. Actually, you know what? Let me, before I head out, just give you some of the stats here of what it looks like for the Bears. Let's see, where is it? The big key. Nope, that's not that one. I want to go to my top 5 players to watch, which you can check out on MarqueeSportsNetwork.com. Chicago Bears are 12-1 all time against Pittsburgh Steelers at Soldier Field. Last time these two teams played in Chicago occurred in 2017, which ended with a Bears 23-17 victory in overtime. Mike Glennon was the Bears quarterback. Fun stats there. What is the weather on Sunday? Am I watching? Oh, you're watching from Japan. Wow, that's awesome. I believe it's going to be really nice, if I'm not mistaken. I'm doing a weather report right at the very end of the show here. But Sunday, 54 degrees. That's beautiful for this time of year. Beautiful for November football. So should be fine. Should be fun. And we'll see if the Bears can improve to 8-3 after tomorrow's game against the Bears or against the Steelers. So everyone enjoy the rest of your day. Tune in next time. Adios.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People. people want to hear me talk.